Now, back to Cofield and Company.
Devontae, I feel like you're at this point of your career where you're just letting it fly.
They treat me like an old man, so I'm going to just act like, because you know, old men, they don't think. They just say whatever, you know, whatever they feel. So that's how my grandpa is, at least. So I'm just trying to be the old man that they want me to be.
Well, good luck week one at SoFi.
We've talked about it before. Charger social media, the best in the business. Now, I don't know if Devontae was playing a little game there. Little troll.
He had to
hype up, I don't know, man, to hype up wide receiver on Netflix. Miles Simmons is with us. Devontae's a really interesting guy. Did he buy the bait and sit on that line for the last couple of months so that he could go after the Chargers under social media team that he's mad?
I mean, look, whatever athletes can use to find motivation, right? Yep. They seem to do it. It's weird, right? I mean, all of the people go, nobody will ever believed in us, blah, blah, blah. You know, like when Tom Brady said it after they won a Super Bowl, like, man, shut up. You're Tom Brady. That was like your sixth Super Bowl. What do you mean nobody believed in you? And like Patrick Mahomes tried to do it too. Although like at least this year with the Chiefs, that had a little bit of merit because after the Raiders beat the brakes off of them at their house on Christmas, it was kind of like, oh, well, you know. Maybe it's just not the Chiefs' year, you know? They get bounced in the first round, and then they end up playing Miami in Arctic conditions, and, of course, Dolphins can't swim in ice, so, you know, that happens. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was a thing with Devontae Adams that he was just harboring deep inside that he just had to get off his chest when he went on Up and Adams.
It is blown up on social media. Please, I do not want to see Devontae Adams tomorrow say that somehow – that was taken out of context, which he's pulled before. I mean, we have it on video. Yeah. We know what you said to Kay. Play along with it, please.
Yeah. Yeah, why not? Especially, I mean, like, you guys are playing the Chargers week one, right? I mean, if you're Devontae Adams and the Raiders, let's hype it up, you know? We're in the middle of July. There's nothing else really going on right now, you know? Let's do it. I who cares? Like, let's have the fun on social media.
Pro Football Talk's Miles Simmons is with us. Greg Salerno, Cofield, Griffin's running the show. All right, so reality shows are starting to come out, as I mentioned, and we're talking about NFL reality shows, sort of. The wide receiver thing's coming out tomorrow on Netflix. We had Giants Hard Knocks debut last week, offseason. Did you watch the Giants offseason?
No, I have not watched that.
I don't know. Do you like Hard Knocks?
I used to like it more than I do now. And I don't, I guess maybe part of it is like I saw how the sausage got made directly in 2016 when I was still working for the Rams and they were there not just for Hard Knocks, but for that All or Nothing show, which I like to call All for Nothing because that was just the way things worked that year with the LA Rams and their first season back in LA. But like I think that it's in some ways like outlived its utility, which is part of why then they keep coming up with more stuff, right? Oh, off-season Hard Knocks. Ooh, is that really that interesting to people? Like, especially the Giants. Like, they didn't even have into this off-season. It wasn't that interesting with them. I mean, if they had gone up and drafted a quarterback, I guess that would have made it more interesting. But they didn't. And they're stuck with Daniel Jones. And they paid him way too much money. And they lost Saquon Barkley. I mean, those are the interesting things that have happened. And maybe I shouldn't judge it completely because, again, I haven't watched it yet. So,
You need to because that was kind of what the first episode was built around, is that the Giants were open to talking about the fact that, one, they didn't value their running back Saquon Barkley that much. And then the other part of it was, yikes. They didn't say this, but, like, our quarterback makes $40 million. We have to be responsible in spending in other areas. And, you know, for them to say that, and it's a New York team, and we're dying for football content, people went gaga over that.
Yeah, and I get that. I mean, look, the Giants in some ways kind of broke the curve, if you will, with quarterback contracts when they decided to pay Daniel Jones $40 million a year. Like, that's not something I think that they believe that they should have done and at this point, and now – they're kind of facing the consequences of it. But at the same time, you know, I have heard, you know, and seen a little bit of clips and stuff. It's like, okay, well, if you weren't very good with Saquon Barkley, right? Like, yeah, you went to the playoffs. Yeah, you won a playoff game. But then the next year, you know, in 2023, how good were they with Saquon Barkley? Over the course of time, how much had they really won with Saquon Barkley being the focal point of their offense? You know, you need to have a quarterback who's going to be able to win games for you. And that's more, I think, what the Giants have to do in order to get themselves into being a perennial contender than saying, okay, yeah, let's continue to build our offense around Saquon Barkley. Now, it hurts more when he goes to a division rival. That's obvious, right? And you know, New York fans are going to continue to boo him, and I kind of find that funny. But you know, I don't think that having Saquon Barkley or not having Saquon Barkley is going to make or break the Giants' 2024 season.
Talking to Miles Simmons, Pro Football Talk. Staying in the NFC East, Dak, this boot thing, foot sprain, whatever's going on. Big deal, no deal. What are you thinking on this?
I don't think it's much of a big deal. I mean, his explanation kind of tracks, at least it does for me, for July. Now, if it comes out, you know, in a couple weeks when they come out here to Southern California and they're in Oxnard, oh, man, Dak Prescott's not going 100%. Because his ankle, or Dak Prescott's taken, you know, day off because of his ankle, then I think that's when you start to become like, wait a minute, you know, he said that this was just kind of a maintenance thing, you know, oh, I don't want to make it any worse, it was just sore, la la la, I'm taking preventative measures. If it's the case where it is affecting him during training camp, then that's when I think, you know, the antenna really starts to fly up. But, you know, it's still early July, you got weeks until they go to training camp, so at this point, I would say it's not that big of a deal. But when the Dallas Cowboys quarterback is showing up somewhere in a walking boot, no matter what time of year it is, it's going to be a story.
Lamar Jackson, I guess, you know, Mark Schlereth went on, I guess it was a podcast, I don't know, I saw the video, talking about how in his playoffs he's underperformed during the regular season, he plays like an MVP, then he gets in the playoffs, not so good. Do you make anything of that? Do you think there's anything to that? I mean, is it just circumstance, or does he actually really not perform as well in the playoffs? I mean,
well,
for
look,
a reason.
I think the last time we saw Lamar Jackson, he did not perform well.
Right.
Right. And that was in the AFC Championship game against the Kansas City Chiefs. And that is a game that was for Baltimore to win. You know, I mean, when you are at home, when you've had such a good season, when you had the first round bye, and this other team is coming off a very emotional kind of playoff victory that they had on the road at Buffalo, a place that was certainly a hostile environment, that's where you are supposed to, as the number one seed, say, we're taking control of this and we're going to win this game. And Lamar Jackson did not play to that kind of standard. Now, I think you could also say the game plan for the Baltimore Ravens offensively was not good in that game, you know, and I'm not sure what Todd Monken was doing, trying to make him throw the ball all the way around, and it sort of seemed like, you know, I mean, there was that early fourth down in that game, and Baltimore went for it, and Lamar Jackson ends up running for, what, 20 yards or something, and they didn't go back to things like that where they put the Kansas City Chiefs defense in conflict with itself, where it's like, I don't know what we're going to do, who we have to tackle, so it's a twofold problem, right? When Lamar Jackson is throwing the ball to triple coverage in the end zone and Isaiah Likely is not likely at all, sorry, to catch a pass because there are three white jerseys around him, like, that's a Lamar Jackson thing.
Yeah.
But also, you know, when Bateman's going into the end zone and he fumbles it, that's not really on Lamar Jackson, is it? I mean, he threw the ball well. It's just that the receiver's got to be able to get the ball into the end zone. So, I don't know. I think that Lamar Jackson generally right now is properly rated. He's a two-time MVP for a reason. But, no, he's not made it into a Super Bowl yet. And until he does that, I mean, he's like Josh Allen in that we know that these guys are special, but we just haven't been able to see them on the biggest of biggest stages, in part because the man who wears number 15 in Kansas City is so damn good.
Let's talk brass tacks, right? We love comparing quarterbacks. Ravens have Dak Prescott in that game last year. They win.
Why?
Because he could actually execute the freaking game plan that Monken wanted to run. And when you're behind, Dak can bring you from behind. I mean, come on. We gotta recalibrate on Lamar Jackson until he gets more efficient, you know, throwing the ball behind in games. If their run game doesn't set him up, then they're in trouble. And yeah, I like Lamar. I do think there are people out there who have this. They've got this preconceived notion, hey, the guy just can't play quarterback. He's a running quarterback. Dak is a better quarterback. And I'm also throwing it out there because people will get on Dak for not winning the big ones. But Dak, I think Dak, if he's the Ravens quarterback, they win that game.
With 15 on the other side, I don't know. And, you know, based on what we saw with Prescott in that game against the Packers, I mean, like, that was – he really peed down his leg in that game. I mean, everybody – on Dallas' sideline did. But I think that you're onto something, Steve. I mean, I'm not really here to crap on Lamar Jackson either, but I think that, yeah, when the running game is not where it needs to be, and this is part of why they go out and they sign Derrick Henry, because that makes it even this much more likely that the running game is always going to be where it needs to be, then yeah, Lamar Jackson is not as talented a passer or as accurate a passer or as consistent a passer usually as you would think of a Dak Prescott, right? I don't disagree with you on that at all. But at the same time, do I want Lamar Jackson on 4th and 3 or do I want Dak Prescott on 4th and 3? I want Lamar Jackson because Lamar Jackson has more ways to beat you, and he's faster than you, and he's more likely, I feel like, to get that first down.
I guess, Greg, where are you on this?
I do think Dak gets a lot of crap. Like, I mean, he produces, and then, you know, if they don't win, he can have 3 touchdowns, 350 yards, and if they don't win, he takes all the blame. And I do think Lamar has a lot of games where it seems like, you know, he could have produced more. Yeah. But I don't know. I don't think that – again, as Miles was saying, you're going against Patrick Mahomes. I don't think it's the same thing. You know, that's a whole different animal.
I guess here's what I'm setting up.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Because we've seen reports – okay, let me correct that. It's not a report. Part of what Devontae Adams was talking about with Kay Adams is Aaron Rodgers is in my ear all the time to come and play with him, which I don't know that that's actually allowed. One, but,
pretty sure it's
but,
not.
But
yeah, that sounds like tampering to
with
me.
With Rodgers, I think
I got to put that on Florio's radar.
Right?
He'll love that.
Yeah, exactly. With Rodgers, I think this is the year. This is it.
Yeah.
And then I believe the Jets will be looking for another quarterback, and I think the Raiders are going to be looking for a quarterback. And I was saying a year and a half ago when Jerry Jones was pulling bull crap with Dak and busting his horns, if I were the Raiders, I would have gone and traded for him. I think both the Raiders and the Jets need to be on Dak Prescott's radar whenever they can. Whenever they can, because if there's a scintilla of a shot that he's available, both organizations could use him.
Now, that I totally agree with, yes. And, you know, I think that Dak Prescott is a franchise quarterback. I think he's proven that, you know, in a lot of different ways. I mean, A, the way he's paid is certainly like a franchise quarterback. He's done a great job in the business of football. He's come back from a devastating injury to play very well. He led the league in touchdown passes last year, which I feel like gets lost in a lot of the things that Dak Prescott has and has not done. Also cut down on the interceptions significantly last year, only had 9. So, like, this is somebody in Prescott who, yes, he can lead a franchise. We've seen that. He's led, you know, the most popular franchise in America by a lot of metrics. I know people sometimes get mad when you say that, but look, he is a very good quarterback. And yes, he would absolutely be an upgrade and a franchise stabilizer, which is important for both the Raiders and the Jets if it gets there. And let me bring back this on Lamar Jackson one thing, just because it's on my mind. And like it's sort of unfair to Lamar Jackson, but also I think it's true. He won MVP last year kind of by default because last year was not a great year for MVP candidates, right? In retrospect, if you look at everything that happened in the postseason that with Mahomes, then you would say, oh my gosh, of course the MVP is Patrick Mahomes. But of the regular season, it was kind of like, oh, well, is it Brock Purdy? No. Is it Josh Allen? Well, no, he throws too many interceptions. And like, you can't discount the first half of the year. Is it Tua Tagovailoa? No, he fell apart at the end of the year, right? Who else would it have been? I mean, Lamar Jackson on paper did not have the most impressive statistics in the most impressive season, right? But then when you watch him play, it was, okay, yes, he is the best quarterback on ostensibly the best team, so that's why he then gets the MVP. And they go to Santa Clara and beat the San Francisco 49ers, you know, on Christmas, and that kind of solidifies it. And that's why he won. But it's not like, I don't know, Lamar Jackson had like this incredible, crazy. He was better, I thought, in 2019 when he won than he was last year, right? But that's my thought on Lamar Jackson.
Miles Simmons, Pro Football Talk. One thing on Lamar Jackson real quick, too, is I think that people underrate the Chiefs' defense last year, too. I mean, that was legitimately a very good defense last year. So, yeah, I do think that had something to do with it. But a little bit now back to the gambling part. We do live in Vegas here, and the NFL now is licensing online slot machines or something. Can you talk about the hypocrisy? What do you think of this a little bit?
It's amazing.
It is pretty amazing. I mean, was it even 10 years ago that Tony Romo
yes.
had the
oh, yeah,
thing?
Yeah.
like, you know,
it was 2015. It
was, yeah.
Was it 2015? Yeah. So it wasn't even 10 years ago when that happened. And now we're seeing online slot. Like, that is. Okay. When I first moved to Vegas, like, the thing that struck me the most, and obviously it's not like I was there for that one, but you can go to CVS and play the slots.
Right. Right. Right.
Like, do you really need to be doing that? I don't know. It's probably a nice option for a lot of people. But that's how I feel about this. Like, do we really need to be doing this? Is this necessary? Do we really need this as a revenue stream? Is this really going to make you that much money as a revenue stream? Like, that's where I you look at the NFL sometimes and you're kind of like, wait a minute, guys, you know? You get all this revenue sharing, you're making, what, $400 million in revenue sharing. That's just
hey, man.
The teams all get. Like, come on.
That DirecTV lawsuit ain't going to pay for itself. You got to raise more money. You got to pay me my $3,000 or whatever I'm getting, which is going to be nothing. Okay, well, but now you're being a hypocrite because I went back. I watched the show back, and like, did Miles and Adam actually put together a bet for EA College Football? I think they did, and then I see this note today. I think you retweeted it. By the way, did you notice we had to kind of like crank the engine up on Miles on talking about quarterbacks? You know what you knew is on his mind right now? Arch Manning has opted into the game. That's all he's been thinking about all day, right? You and your EA college football.
I did write the story on ProFootballTalk.com today, you know, that Arch Manning has opted into the EA Sports College Football 25, which comes out next week, by the way, next Friday. Tuesday, you get the early access. You pay $100 for the deluxe package. That's when that thing comes out. So, yeah, that's what I will be doing Tuesday afternoon as soon as between coming on here with you guys. So, yeah.
EA better sponsor your pops here, and more importantly, they better start shuffling some money towards PFT. A lot of free promotion
saying,
for Miles.
Man.
Come on.
That's what I'm saying. I love that thing. I don't even have it yet. But the funny thing is, I mean, like, if you, and we talked a lot about EA Sports College Football 25 last week. I'll just talk more about it because I love it. I love the concept.
I know you do.
By the time we get to Friday, like, the fact that Arch Manning opted into the game is going to be completely irrelevant to my life because he's not going to be there in 2029 or 2030 when we're in year 5 and 6 of the dynasty. You know, I'm trying to be a head coach by then.
You're trying to be a head coach. Good luck.
Yeah. Well, you got to start out. You got to start out as an offensive coordinator somewhere.
You even got to. You even have to wait in EA College Football.
If you,
well, there's like a JJ Redick who can go right to be a head coach.
You can be. You can do that if you want, but I'm trying to build my way up. You know, I'm trying to do this the right way. I want to earn what I get here.
Do you actually play the games?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
They're lunatics.
Hell yeah, I play the game.
Well, I know you can sit there and watch your like college get better and go from a 1-star, you know, all the way up or whatever. But I didn't know if you actually played.
He was talking recruiting last week on the video game. His recruiting approach.
Yes, absolutely.
Dynasty.
You got to start with your offensive line and your quarterback. You get a fast running back too. That's the thing, man. And I don't know how exactly it's going to look in this new one, but the thing I always took a look at is 40 times, right? You want your running back to be 4.33 or faster, because that means he's going to have probably a 93 speed at least, and you need that if you're going to have a really good offense. That's what I always look for.
Miles, we appreciate it. Next week, we have to have some chatter about the Dragon Show. Dragon War is a terrible thing, my friend. Terrible. It was horrifying.
A terrible thing. It is a terrible thing.
I almost cried.
Terrible, terrible thing, but it's a great show, man. It's a great show.
See you, buddy.
All right, take care, guys.
At Miles A. Simmons, Pro Football Talk. He actually does more than tweet. He wrote the story. I'm like, check out his tweet. He's like, I wrote a story about it. You realize, because this has already happened with fantasy football and fantasy baseball, there are times, like when you were talking about Brian Cashman being a terrible GM, I'm like, you know, my AL team this year, I did a pretty good job of keepers and some trades.
Yeah.
I think I can't run a baseball team. Miles and others, now, and the Dynasty thing was around, but the game's been gone so long. They're going to have all these new features.
Yeah.
And I think there are going to be college football fans who are like, I mean, I built a program on EA.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's why I asked.
What's going on with our coach? You can't build. I can do it.
That's why I asked if he could actually plays the games, because you don't have to really, like, in order to get your team up, you don't have to play.
Oh, that's what you meant.
Yeah, you can like fast forward the season and simulate everything if you want to, and then watch your team become a bigger college or whatever. So that's why I was wondering if he actually, you know, physically played the games.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Salerno, Cofield. It's a Tuesday. Tomorrow we're going to be on the road. Circa. Out of Circa for 2 days, not just our regular Thursday show, but 2 days back to back. Wednesday and Thursday. Restricted area. I'm kidding about that part. It is restricted, but Mountain West Conference in town, football media days. I'm being a D-bag. Couple of weird stories, and I feel like Boise is kind of stealing some of the thunder leading into this, Boise State.
Yeah.
They have a kicker who's 18 field goals away from, I don't know, setting some sort of all-time record. I have to look up what record is. Maybe it's most field goals made in a career. I think he's going to do some sort of kick out at Stadium Swim.
Really?
Yeah.
For what?
Just to kick the ball. I don't know.
But I mean,
I would assume he could kick the length of the, I don't know, maybe he's going to try to kick it over the TV.
Wow, that's cool. That sounds cool. I don't know. Is my mic on?
Oh, boy. Who knows what's happening?
I can't hear myself.
It's a wild day today. There's Oh, no. Sorry.
That's all good now, I'm on.
You good?
Yeah.
Right. Well, we had a mic fall off.
I know. Yeah. No, it was somebody's fault. The mic fell off, and I was using the wrong one, I guess.
The vast tech crew here wasn't available to fix your microphone, so you did during the break. So we're good? Yeah. So their kicker's doing some kind of kick out at the pool, Stadium Swim, more than a pool. It's six bodies of water and 143-foot screen. But the other thing is I don't have official confirmation. I trust the dude who tweeted it, BJ Raines, who covers Boise. He said that Ashton Genty is going to come to the event. Now, I say it oddly. Ashton Genty, of course, as a player who's available, should be one of the Boise guys. He's one of the best running backs in the country.
Sure.
He's not 21.
Oh. How's he going to even get into the property?
I don't know what they're doing. BJ was reporting that he's going to be across the street at...
Oh, he's going to catch the ball?
No. He's going to be at Golden Gate for availability.
Oh, okay.
So.
Huh. Interesting. You think he's going to partake?
In what?
I don't know, drinking or anything.
Probably not while people are watching. That would be kind of obvious.
Yeah, I guess so. That sucks.
Right in front of the PR
that
people.
That sucks to be a famous 20-year-old in Vegas.
Hey, you don't think about it.
Yeah.
But will I trade a little inconvenience for Ashton Genty, especially after he torched UNLV last year? Will I trade some inconvenience for Ashton Genty for Circa being 21 and over? You bet your ass.
Oh, I would too.
I love the concept so much. I think multiple places around town should go to that. But, again, I don't want to sit here. And
no.
The show is very mean about kids.
Yeah, I know. I hate kids. But here's the thing. Is
I didn't ask, but I assumed.
No, I had to stay at a hotel because, I don't know, for whatever reason, everything was booked up one night. So I had to stay for one time at one of the hotels on the east side. I'm not going to say which one. But it's very nice. But, oh, my goodness. It was like Disneyland in there. It was the most ridiculous thing. It was like, you know, at the end of the casino where they're complaining because Vegas turned into Disneyland? It's exactly what it looked like. That scene with the kids running in laughing and all the sticky little snotty horrible humans running around. And, oh, my God, it was terrible. So I was so glad to get out of there because to get back in a casino where there's no kids. Yeah. Ugh.
You forget how refreshing it is.
Yes.
When you're just around adults.
Yeah.
Like Circa actually feels cooler.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, that. There's no correlation.
No. It did.
But maybe I get like.
No, there's definitely a correlation.
The agitation level of.
No. Because parents around
kids
their
yell
kids.
And
parents suck when they're around their kids. Kids suck. I mean, the whole thing is terrible. So. If you can remove,
wait, say the first part, parents
suck around their kids. Yeah. So, like, you know, if you have a friend and they're around their kids, they're a completely different person than they are when they're not around their kids.
It's their world.
Yeah, of course.
And no one else matters.
Right. And everybody else has to care about your stupid kid too, even though if you don't, you know what I mean. Now all of a sudden they're my world too. And I don't even have a kid. The whole thing's crazy.
If you have kids, no offense.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean that. School zones are great. Every 14 feet, I love it.
I feel like you've done this rant many times. It's like your bullet point, bullet point, bullet point, bullet point, bullet point.
Keep littering the planet with cockroaches. I love it.
Wow. Okay.
Well, I mean, we only have one planet. How selfish it is that they have like seven kids or something. That's ridiculous. We're all using the same resources.
So we're going to talk a bunch of UNLV football over the next couple of days. We'll try to get Barry Odom on. We're going to try to get Ricky White on tomorrow. I'm not a video game guy at all, but this EA College Football, now that we've talked back-to-back weeks to Miles, who's like a early 30-something.
Yeah.
Adam Hill's like 50.
Yeah.
They're very much into this game, and the because it's been gone.
No. Right?
That's the other thing. It's been gone. Adam's like, oh, first play, what do we do to honor the return? I'm like, what is – like, I think I'm going to take a knee.
I don't want to be a hypocrite here because I play Madden like religiously, so yeah. I can't be a hypocrite. I do love Madden. I love, but I play the game. Like, I'm not sitting there trying to build up.
I didn't even know about this whole thing that it's like a fantasy, almost like fantasy.
That's pretty much what it is. I mean, you can play the games too, but you don't have to.
But it gets me thinking, because you know NFL players are into Madden.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Every year Madden comes out, there's multiple players who are like, what?
Yeah.
Speed?
I know.
My hands?
I know.
What is this? Running sucks. Now you've got thousands and thousands of kids, and their likeness is up there, and they're all rated.
Right. I know.
When it comes out, they're gonna go crazy. Positive and negative.
Yeah, how do they rate the kids, though? It's weird, because at least in the Madden, they have the combine numbers to go by. Most of the attributes are from, like, you know, drills and stuff like that. How do they rate a college kid that they don't even know?
It's an interview that I didn't even think of tracking down, but we probably should.
Yeah.
Because I know with Madden, not only do you have ratings, but then they also have adjusters throughout.
Yes.
They adjust it, which, like, okay.
Yeah. It updates. Like, if let's say you draft a guy, and then he winds up being way better than you thought he was going to be or way worse, they'll go either direction.
But that's a lot of kids to track.
Well, it is. Yeah, that's true. But I mean, I don't even know where they get the numbers from. They must just make them up.
I don't know. Do you think information comes from the coaches? Like, would players be like, "Hey, coach"?
Yeah.
What is this? What do you tell them?
That's probably a good point. They probably do interview the coaches and just ask them who the fastest guy on the team is. What do you think about this guy? Yeah. I don't know.
All right. Well, I said we're going to talk some UNLV football Wednesday and Thursday, but we're going to do some today as well. Brendan Marion, the offensive coordinator of the Rebels, is on the horn with Steve Cofield and Greg Salerno. Coach, how are you?
Awesome. How you guys doing?
We're good. We're being a little weird. We're both old. We don't play this college football EA game. It's not out yet. But is this in your purview at all about how fired up the kids are going to be when this thing comes out?
Yeah, I think there'll be some things that a lot of UNLV people and the players can be excited about that we'll showcase some things that, you know, that we've done in the past. So I think everybody's really excited for the game to come out. And, you know, whether you're young, old, whatever, I think everybody's a little excited for, you know, just because the game hasn't been out in so long. So, you know, I think everybody's a little fired up for it.
On a lighter note, I don't know, like 4 weeks into the season, you guys are averaging like 37 points a game. If I come to you and say, hey, coach, I'm running the go-go with your personnel, and on EA College Football, I'm averaging 48 per game. What are you going to say to me?
Well, you know.
are you going to say it's maybe not the same as a video game? Real life is not the same, dude.
No doubt. The AI is a little bit different than the actual humans running it.
Well, I got to tell you, we had a chance to talk. The media did, and I was there talking to you about the offense and, you know, what was going to happen during the offseason. And I think – I don't know why it didn't process, but like every year is different. And one of the things that I was kind of impressed by is the fact that you guys had this great year last year. And then when you were talking during the summer, you're like, yeah, we got to be better and we got to change things up and we got to have new looks. And then you have new personnel. I mean, how much of the offseason is just coming up with new stuff and adding it to the old stuff and then, you know, making sure the guys know what's going on? I assume you want to add a bunch of new wrinkles.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we felt like we came up short last year, so what we did wasn't, you know, ultimately didn't reach our goals of lifting up the trophy like we wanted to do. So, you know, we looked at, you know, every year it's a new team. We had new players come in. We had players leave. And we're just trying to put our guys in the best situation to get us to the, you know, to the big game and be able to lift up the trophy at the end of the season. So we're going to do everything possible to get that done and put our guys in the best position and, you know, utilize their skill set. So, you know, if that takes changing things and changing personnel and, you know, whatever it takes to get that accomplished, that's what we're going to do as a staff.
You know, I always wondered this about being a coach. You know, you plan, you have a whole offseason, you plan all this stuff, you're ready to go. What happens when something doesn't work? Like, is there a panic that sets in, like when you have to make an adjustment, something like that, or you have to throw an entire plan out the window?
No, I think, you know, you have a lot of, you know, quality coaches in the room who have been multiple places, who have, you know, had a lot of success. So I think there's definitely a quiet, still confidence in the room that we know if we can, you know, communicate as a staff together and come up with a plan and, you know, coach a kid a little bit better on how to execute the play, we can get the job done. So we'll always just come together collectively as a group and then try to give it to the kids the best way to communicate in their language so we can go, you know, take care of business.
UNLVtickets.com to get your UNLV football tickets. There's single game tickets, mini packs of three games, season tickets are still available. Last year, the offense, the go-go was unreal under Brennan Marion, and he's on Cofield and Company right now. How much time do you spend, you know, during an offseason thinking, hey, now teams are really going to game plan to stop Ricky White? What do you come up with to make sure that, hey, Ricky's going to get the ball and maybe get the ball in different spots than he did a year ago?
Yeah, to his credit, I mean, I don't think Ricky White has patted himself on the back yet for what he did last year. I think it actually made him more hungry to accomplish more things and do more things. I mean, he's at a point now where we have to tell him to stop working out. I mean, so, you know, all those guys, Jacob DeJesus, you know, Casey Kane, I mean, those guys have been working their tails off. So, you know, I don't think it'll be so much of, you know, when you see a great receiver in the NFL, you know, they don't just completely change the game plan. I mean, yes, we'll motion and shift and do different things to put them in advantageous matchups, but, you know, we're going to still, you know, give our best players the ball. We're not going to, you know, change from that.
Seems like there's a lot of excitement in town, probably the most excitement since I've lived here as far as going into the football season. How great will it be to be able to showcase yourself? You got a lot more Friday games, a lot more people watching. Is it an exciting feeling?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the biggest thing for me is, like, for the kids, you know, they should, you know, when you talk about the Vegas community, you know, right now, you know, sports are blowing up here and there's a lot of great things, you know, going on in Vegas, you know, and it would be great for our kids to see Vegas come out and support them in full, you know, and fill the stadium up and pack the stadium to see, you know, all their hard works and the fruit of their labor in front of people. You know, I mean, that would be what we all want. We all want them to have a big time football, you know, environment so they can go out there and put on a show and give the fans what they came to see.
You mentioned Casey Kane. You have experience being around Casey Kane. Why did you want Casey to come over from Texas to join you guys?
Yeah, he's a lot like, you know, when we brought Vince Davis here last year from Pitt. You know, he's a guy who's been on a winning team. He understands what the winning culture looks like. He's a guy who has a great skill set. He's a guy who loves football and is going to do everything possible to help the team win. And, you know, Casey's always just been a great kid, you know, coming from Louisiana. And, you know, he works his tail off and he creates, you know, kind of that, you know, a little bit of laughter in the room, a little bit of that atmosphere that you need. You know, you need to have some fun guys in there that work their tail off and love football. And he's one of those guys that, you know, really fits what we do, you know, culturally and, you know, with his on-the-field skill set.
UNLV offensive coordinator Brennan Marion, up with Cofield and Company. The running back mix, a little bigger room now. We talked to Cornell Ford last week and just some of the things you guys can do. I'm sure there was some intent behind this from, you know, freshmen to transfers. Everyone's a little bit bigger with these new additions.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, last year when you looked at us, we were able to run the ball downhill a little bit. And, you know, now we have, you know, we create a little different feel with some guys that are bigger and they can catch and they can run a little harder, you know. And, you know, no disrespect to the guys we had last year. I thought we had, you know, a great talented group last year as well. And I think we'll have the kind of the same, you know, element this year. We got Jet coming back who, you know, is that one play touchdown guy for us, and, you know, adding some bigger backs with him will really, really help us down the road.
The question everyone's looking to be answered, and I'm not sure it's going to be answered at the beginning of the season or may take a while, is what's going to happen at quarterback. And, you know, last year I asked you because, you know, I was kind of learning about the go-go offense, and I figured, hey, you want the edge with the quarterback every once in a while. I remember asking you, hey, is, you know, 6'5 and 6'4 quarterbacks, are they really the ideal guy for the position? Mayava did a great job last year after Brumfield got hurt. So tell us about the abilities of both Sluka and Haj Malik, and I know Friel's in the mix, but they're a little smaller, but we know that they can get downhill. What does that do for you offensively now in the go-go where now you can get a quarterback outside and maybe run all of what you want?
Yeah, I wouldn't know if I would call those guys small. I mean, those dudes are
They're not 6'5". They're not 6'5". And they're runners. And they're good
runners.
They're
not 6'5", but they're definitely some decent sized, you know, football players in their own right. But, you know, I tell people all the time, you know, everybody asks about the quarterback, and it's going to be like NASA. You know, you're just going to see, you know, you're going to see when the rocket goes up in there, you know. So I'm not going to talk about it too much, but I think they've done a good job of, you know, immersing themselves in our culture, getting to know the playbook, you know, getting around the guys, immersing themselves in the community, you know, trying to just be, you know, what a quarterback's supposed to be. You know, be the point guard of the team. They're trying to learn everything. They're trying to do everything the right way. They're trying to please their coaches. And they've done a great job. So it'll be fun this summer as we, you know, conclude summer and get into the season.
What's it going to be like for you, offensive game planning, when you look around the league? And I have to look the official number of new DCs, but I'm assuming because there's you know, over a half dozen new head coaches, there's a lot of new DCs. Is that an advantage for you, or do you go into some of these games, you're like, well, we're going to have to do some real deep diving to find out what they ran somewhere else or what they want to run? How do you deal with all these new defensive coordinators?
Yeah, I don't really know if it's so much the scheme. Right now, it's more of, you know, when you're dealing with the transfer portal, it reminds me a lot of, you know, being a junior college player, a lot of the roster turnover of seeing who the new pieces are going to be. You know, a lot of these teams have flipped their rosters, or their rosters have drastically changed, you know. So now it'll be really for us trying to gather as much information on every team, seeing what players they have, what their skill sets are, and then how are they going to fit into the scheme of who the new defensive coordinator is. But, you know, just knowing who those people are is very important for us as we move forward.
Brennan Marion's with us, UNLV offensive coordinator, Salerno Cofield. I want to go back to the Kane thing for a second. In back-to-back years, you've leaned on some guys that you had experience with in the past at all these different stops. Do you? I assume the staff has a rolling list. Do you personally have a rolling list of, you know, kids you've coached before, or that you recruited? Is there something behind the scenes where you have like a master list where you're like, hey, down the road we may need players at these positions? I assume that you must have some sort of database or data bank, right?
Yeah, I think everybody kind of just, you know, right now the climate that we're in, I mean, you kind of have these relationships that last, and it's the same thing in recruiting. You know, when you get a guy from a certain place, you knew a guy or you helped a guy in the past previously, and he's like, man, I'd really love for this guy to come play for you because what you did with the last guy, you know. And so that's kind of just how it works now in recruiting in this new landscape of, you know, transfer portal and, you know, just dealing with that stuff. So, you know, just trying to keep, you know, those relationships and things rolling as you continue to climb and change. And, you know, everything changes every day kind of now, right now in college football.
Back to the quarterback thing. We got to see Haj Malik, you know, a little bit in practice and then at the spring game. So you guys got a pretty decent idea of what he can do. What have you seen so far from Matthew Sluka, who, you know, didn't get to, you know, play in the spring, wasn't in the spring game?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, when you said small, I was thinking of him when you said small. That dude is cut up. He's a big dude. I mean, he's probably 215, 220. So he's a strong kid, you know, and really has a unique skill set. So this summer we've just been looking at him and just seeing what he can do and just trying to, you know, get a good picture of what it looks like and when he's going to get an opportunity to actually, you know, go out there and camp and compete. So, you know, just really just evaluate and assessing the guys. You know, how do they learn? You know, how can we teach them better? You know, what are the things that they've done in the past? Anytime you talk about transfer players, you want to, you know, this is same as, you know, some of the stuff that's same as what you've done in the past, you know, so it's not too overwhelming for them as they, you know, learn a new playbook and new concepts.
At 6'3 and say 220, dude rushed for what, 2,700 yards combined the last two seasons. What does he do to run so well? Like, what's his style?
I think he's just, you know, he's got a lot of New York in him. You know, that's what I say. I mean, he's got a lot of just, you know, I'm a prove to you, I'm a tough guy. Like, you know, I think all our quarterbacks have something to prove, have a little chip on their shoulder. And I think, you know, obviously with his lacrosse background, he's used to maneuvering and running and making plays, you know, because he played lacrosse in high school at a high level. So, you know, that's just something that he, you know, brings that comes with him and that he's used to doing, he's comfortable doing.
So I got to ask a final question here about backgrounds. Do we know, did Ricky White play any baseball in high school? Because he's playing in this charity softball game this weekend. Does he have a baseball background?
No, Ricky was basketball. He was a basketball player. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
So we'll see if he can actually get a hit out. I mean, it's soft toss, so he might be at might get a single or something out there.
Yeah, just don't have him play the outfield because last year Nate Hobbs of the Raiders was playing the outfield and misjudged a fly ball and took one right to the dome. We want everyone to be – it's a charity game. We want everyone to be safe here, Coach, please.
No doubt. No doubt.
All right, well, we will see you in just a couple weeks with the open of camp. We appreciate a couple minutes today, and thanks for your time.
All right. Appreciate you, man.
There he is, Brennan Marion, offensive coordinator with UNLV. Yeah, I love that. He's like, the quarterbacks aren't small. Well, Doug Brumfield is like pushing 6'7".
Right.
Right. And Cam Friel is 6'4". Check that. Jaden Maiva is 6'4" and about 240. Maiva is now at USC. And, you know, my question was, one, Brumfield wasn't always super durable. I'm going back to kind of like for the go-go offense.
Right.
I feel like they want the edge. And they went out and got two guys. I have to look at the numbers now for rushing for Haj Malik Williams, who's about 5'11". He's a thick kid, probably 210, but he can run. And this other guy, Matt Saluka, as he just said, 6'3", like 220, played at Holy Cross. And he had 2,700 yards the last 2 years rushing. So
it's funny because when I was growing up, you had to be like 6'4", 6'5", to be a quarterback because, you know, it was the whole you can't see over the line thing or whatever. That's completely out the window now, it seems.
Well, if you want to get to the edge, right, and get the whole offense on the move.
Sure.
Be able to use different blocking schemes. I think I'll just say it in very rudimentary terms. I think an on-the-move offense and quarterback where they could swing to either side of the field.
Yeah.
They're running fakes.
Sure.
I don't want to overdo it because I do think the schedule is tougher. Like, they come out of the gates, two out of the first three games is on the road against Big 12 teams in Houston and Kansas. I just look at their offense now, and they've got a wide receiver in Ricky White who went 1,400 yards plus. They've got Jacob DeJesus, who had a good receiving season, was All-American as a returner. They added the 6'3 kid, Casey Kane, because they were lacking a true big high point guy.
Yeah.
They added a freshman in Damian McDaniel, who I know Marion was really high on. Spring game, they pitch him a ball like 8 yards downfield. He goes like 75 yards. And I'm not even mentioning all the weapons because one of the guys who really started to emerge last year, they've got a 6'7", 250 tight end in Kaleo Ballingai who is unbelievable with his hands over the middle. So now it's like, okay, you got a slot guy, two outside receivers who are good. I didn't even mention the running backs yet and a tight end.
Yeah.
And if the quarterback's swinging out and like you don't know if he's going to pitch, if he's going to take it downhill, if he's going to stop and throw, you're like, whoa!
Right. Yeah, it's legitimately exciting. I think it's great for Vegas, man. It really
is. It's really cool. And it's the – I'm not saying it's the – nah, you know what? Because even last year, people were like, okay, we don't know what UNLV is going to be.
Yeah.
And one guy picked him to finish first, and everyone was like, whoa, idiot! It was Matt Neverett.
Right.
He's part of the broadcast crew. No, this year, legitimately, at Mountain West Conference Media Day, it's one of the first times I've been out there, and I'm like, okay, I cover one of the teams.
Yeah.
Like, there's always hopes. Like, these guys have expectations.
Yeah.
And the expectations inside the program are probably higher than almost everyone around Las Vegas.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
Was that bad to do with Coach Marion? You saw what I was doing there, right? With Ricky White, I'm like, dang, star player. He gets one at bat. Get him the hell out.
Yeah.
He's playing in that charity softball game. I'm like, please be careful.
Dude, you know these people that play in the Olympics and they have a professional contract or they're in the WBC and they're a pitcher pitching in February or they're playing in a softball game? I would tell them no. Sorry. Nope.
I know.
I mean, I know it sounds silly, but.
I went nuts one year. This is such random stuff. Remember Sam Decker, who played in the NBA, and he played at Wisconsin, if I'm correct. My memory fails me sometimes.
Yeah.
But he'd been drafted, I think, by the Rockets, and then there was some story about him, like his parents still made him mow the lawn.
Yeah.
And I was like,
I know.
I would be like, I haven't signed the deal yet.
Right.
Like, I could slip on wet grass, go into the mower.
You could take a stick to the leg or something. You don't know. You think kick out of that thing at 100 miles an hour, 500 miles
See,
an hour.
You're with me on this.
Yeah. No,
my parents.
I'm risk aversion.
We had one house that was like a very overgrown yard,
yeah,
sort of a swampy area, and I remember my father was like, "Yeah, go cut the lawn," and it was like real high, but it was on a main road, so I just figured people threw stuff in the yard, and I sort of I built up this fear that I was gonna mow the lawn and take a screw to the eye.
Yeah, dude, I've had
and that's
rocks.
How I built my whole. I know, I don't know why I thought it. I just maybe I heard a story and I was like, Sam Becker's gonna take a screw to the eye. Dude, sign the deal first.
Yeah.
Nothing risky.
Yeah. My dad might have had something to do with it, too, because when I was growing up, he thought I was going to be, like, a pitcher. So, like, if he saw me doing anything else, he'd be like, you know, smack my arm and tell me not to use it or, you know, like, anything. It doesn't even matter. Throwing a tennis ball, he'd tell me that's not enough resistance on the ball. Don't throw that, you know.
Salerno comes home from school. How much did you write today? Get it. Let's go. Get it on ice.
Exactly. I swear.
Wow.
I was in a bubble.
It's what happens, man, when we get older.
Yeah.
Don't judge a book by, you know, by the cover. Salerno was a borderline major league pitcher.
Well, yeah, maybe.
Okay, I got to – you're getting real agitated in the middle of the show.
Yeah.
So I got to mention something real quickly.
Okay.
Chris Chapman, who is he's a badly built bro. and I assumed he was a total non-athlete. He's another one who went out there with the aviators. What's so funny? He is.
All right.
He's portly. Okay. What's better? Badly built bro?
No, I don't know.
So he went out there and threw the first pitch. Greg.
What?
I mean, it was pretty smooth.
Yeah, it was. He didn't throw from the mound. How are you going to throw a pitch and not throw it from the mound? Anybody could throw from here to the door on a strike. I mean, look, I like Chapman, too. I'm not saying anything bad about the guy. And he did throw a good pitch. But then he said that they wouldn't let him on the mound. I'm like, they told me to go on the mound. I don't know why they wouldn't let you.
Did you damage the mound when you did it?
No.
Like, don't go up there. Well, Greg crushed
just
in the
– just by gravity, maybe.
Greg crushed in the pitching rubber.
Now we have three rubbers.
They're like, what's wrong with this thing? It's all crooked.
I don't know. All
that
I know
lefty
is
threw from the one side. It's leaning now.
90% of the difficulty is throwing from the mound, though. Anybody could throw a ball. Silly. Give me a break. Not even a comparison.
Last 20 seconds. Quickie. Zach Edey, 7-4, 3-10.
Yeah.
Summer League game. Not here yet. 14-13 and a game-winning block at the end. Is he a player?
Maybe. I don't
know.
Top
10 pick. Grizzlies picked him.
Yeah. I mean, look, dude.
The whole time he was in school, he was like, he's not a pro. I'm like, I think he can contribute.
Well, who cares what anybody says anyway? I mean, the guy, he's got the size, and he's producing in Summer League, which is the most important thing in the world. So.